recent research suggests there's been a dramatic improvement in Australia's relationship with India, but that ties remain brittle and that bold initiatives are needed to ensure progress. A report by the Australia-India Institute Perceptions Task Force says that when it comes to our relationship, many in India are not convinced that we mean business. It also says that many in Australia are unconvinced of India's capacity to progress ties rapidly. Christopher Kremer is a former ABC journalist and foreign correspondent, now an academic and a member of the Australia-India Institute Perceptions Task Force. It's just released a report on the relationship between the two countries, and Christopher joins us this morning from our Melbourne studio. Chris, good morning.
Good morning.
Besides our love of cricket, do Australia and India really have much in common?
Look, they're very, very different societies at very, very different points in their history. We both have a democratic temperament. But as Saul earlier has pointed out, democracy is probably a little bit more difficult to deal with than the unitary, authoritarian, one-party state that is China. In some strange way, the things we hold in common, even cricket, have in recent years become contested sort of spaces, bad-tempered places. Now, what's happened now with the uranium decision that Julia Gillard succeeded in achieving last year is a game changer. There's no doubt about it. And particularly in terms of India's attitude to Australia, which was so bleak during the time of the attacks on Indian students in 2009. Mm. That attitude is changing and doors are opening.
Mm. I was going to ask you about that image because, I mean, you're speaking to us from Melbourne, which has the biggest Indian population in Australia and also the place, I suppose, which suffered the most damage as far as Australia's image was concerned when the Indian student issue arose a few years ago. Has that now gone? Do Indians now... have they now revised that view of Australia?
There was something of a perfect storm, emerged in 2009. It wasn't just the violent attacks. The Indian sense of being discriminated against over uranium sales also fed into the media attitude to Australia. Bad-tempered incidents on the cricket field added to that. Have things moved on? Yes, absolutely, including in India. In any situation where you have large numbers of migrants from overseas, groups of migrants in particular communities, somebody's always going to be, being attacked, getting in trouble. And that continues. And we've had problems in the colleges revealed recently, where a couple of colleges attended by large numbers of Indian students were shut down for quality reasons. What's interesting, the change that's interesting, is that the Indian media has moved on. Largely, they are reporting these issues more in context than in the past. It's as if the problems of the past have been a kind of vehicle for greater understanding. We work through those issues, and the media work through those issues. And importantly, the Indian government decided in 2009 that it wasn't going to take the opportunity to really put us in the freezer, and the experience between diplomats of working together to resolve those problems that occurred and to set up new structures and a new system in the education system for international students, that actually brought the two sides closer together. They got to know one another, and it's actually ironically turned out to be an improvement in the relationship.
Mm. We know that many Indian students did come to Australia to undertake study and TAFE courses, but many were simply here to get residency, and there was that attraction. Do you understand the suspicion of many Australians about the intentions of some Indian students, and has that changed?
Well, there has been a change in the student mix. The vocational training has been reduced greatly as a proportion of the number of Indian students who are coming here. So we're tending to get more high-level researchers and so on at the moment, which many people, including Indian officials, think is a good thing. But we need to remember that immigration outcomes are a factor in the decision that Asian students make when it comes to choosing a destination where they're going to do their studies. And these are some of the brightest and best in emerging superpower countries like India and China. The industry of educating international students was, I think, our third largest export earner. It probably continues to be at that level right now, and the opportunities are enormous. Australia has, great advantages in this field, and you know, we should be out there competing for the international student dollar. And ultimately, you know, it's a globalizing world. And we see that on the streets of our cities here in Melbourne, in Sydney. You can't turn around and go back. Yes, there are rorts. Yes, we should be doing something to stop them, mainly because those rorts mean that, you know, we're not really delivering the best quality education that we can to most of those customers. But there has been progress, and best of all, there has been a diminution of the attacks on Indian students that did occur at the time, you know, in parts of the community.
Hmm. How do you think Australians view India?
Well, there's research on that, and whilst Indians rank Australia as one of the top 10 countries in the world, as a place, say, to visit, to invest, to migrate to, and, you know, in their opinion of it as a sort of just and democratic society, Australian views of India have always for decades been very negative. And in some senses, the persistence of those negative perceptions is an anachronism that is holding Australia's ability to engage with this emerging society back. The Henry Review is in a very timely manner, just coming, it will be released after Julia Gillard's visit to India, is going to emphasise, as we emphasised in our report, that Australia needs to step up, it needs to skill up, it needs to come to terms with its geography. We need to start learning more, teaching more in our schools about Indian history, Indian geography, Indian society. We will find that, you know, many of those anachronistic practices that Saul mentioned are in free fall in parts of the country. You know, we're holding a conference at the Australia-India Institute later this month, and one of the guests is a chief minister of a state that has a population of 200 million people, and he was educated in Australia.
These ties will develop, I guess, and that's part of the long-term goal for Australia too, I would think. Chris, good to talk with you.
Thank you very much.
Christopher Kremer in our Melbourne studio speaking about the relationship with India. It's 7 to 8.